This is North Place Church, Durban. We hope as you listen today that you experience Christ, community, and compassion. To learn more about us, visit our website at northplacechurch.co.za.
It was probably a year and a half ago. I was doing some work and I was just praying and doing some studying, and I was thinking about just things that people in the world face. And as I meet people wherever I travel, wherever I go, this issue of resilience just kept coming up over and over and over again. So I began to pray and really ask the Lord how we could speak to this issue of resilience, because one of the things that I know for certain is that all of us, no matter where we come from, no matter who we are, we all face trouble. We all face trials. We all face things that overwhelm us. What makes us similar, or what brings us together, is the fact that we all face challenges, and we all must develop the capacity to be resilient in spite of what we may face, in spite of what we may go through. Resilience is the capacity to adapt well in the face of adversity, trauma, tragedy, threats, or significant sources of stress. Anybody here ever face significant sources of stress? Yep. A couple of weeks ago when I was in the States and got a message that said, "Hey, the air conditioning is out again." Again. It was a significant moment of stress. Look, we all face significant moments of stress. The question is not if we're going to face moments of stress. The question is not if trauma is going to happen to us or not happen to us. The question is, how are we going to respond in those circumstances and those situations? Last week, Pastor Aaron did such a great job as we discussed Noah painting for us this beautiful picture of resilience through relationship with God. How it is rooted in covenant, and how when we walk in obedience, we demonstrate resilience no matter what we face. Today we're gonna look more at resilience, and we're going to look at a woman named Ruth. Ruth exhibited resilience through loyalty and faithfulness in light of epic disaster. You know, you and I may not be able to relate on everything in our life, but we can relate on this idea that disaster does happen to all of us. The book of Ruth takes place during the time of the book of Judges. If you read the book of Judges, if you're trying to understand kind of the time set, that's the time set for the book of Ruth. Israel, the nation of Israel, is in famine. And the people are getting desperate. And so a man named Elimelech decides that he is going to take his wife Naomi and their two children, and they're going to move from Israel, and they're going to go live in Moab as a way of kind of escaping what they're facing. He goes there, and once he arrives with his wife and his two sons, the Bible says that he dies. This woman, Naomi, she has traveled to a foreign land. She's living in a culture that she doesn't know. She's away from her home. She's away from her own language group, her own people group. And she finds herself now in this foreign situation, and her husband has died. At least she has two sons who can take care of her, because you have to understand, during that time and during that culture, from a family perspective, if the family is going to be taken care of, if their name is going to live on, if they're going to own property, if they're going to be able to sustain themselves, there has to be a male, there has to be a patriarch in the family. And so at least she had two sons that could take care of her. Well, 10 years passed after they are living in this foreign land, after they're living in Moab, and her husband has passed away. 10 years later, her two sons pass away. And so now this woman, Naomi, is left with pain upon pain. Now, not only has she lost her husband, but she's lost her two sons. And as devastating and as heartbreaking as that would be, to lose your spouse and to lose your children, it's even more complicated for her because now she has no male in the family. There's no patriarch to be left. The family name will stop right here. The family's capacity to own property and resources and to provide will now be cut off. This woman, Naomi, is left in utter and complete disaster. So when she finds this out, when all of this happens to her and she realizes that this is taking place, she becomes incredibly sorrowful, but she finds out that God has been kind back in Israel and they've started producing food. So she makes up her mind, I'm going to travel back from Moab to Israel. So she speaks to her daughter-in-laws and she says to them, I'm going home. I'm going back to Israel. At least I can go there and die. At least I'll go there and I'll die among my own people. And so this process begins, and that's when you read the book of Ruth, it's only four chapters, and I would encourage you during your daily 20 this week to read the book of Ruth. You can actually read it pretty quickly, and you're gonna learn a lot of things that I won't be able to cover this morning by reading the book of Ruth. This kind of sets up the first chapter. She's decided, I'm gonna go home. I'm going to go back to my own people. At least I can die among my own people. The book of Ruth weaves this thread of resilience that we're going to talk about today into a tapestry of this disastrous life, this disastrous story of this woman named Naomi, this woman who lost everything, this woman whose heart and life is absolutely broken. But we see Ruth kind of arise in this story, demonstrating for us the power of resilience as it manifests itself through loyalty and faithfulness in her life. The first thing that I want you to see as we look at the book of Ruth today is that resilience is demonstrated by our response to disaster. Let me say that again. Resilience is demonstrated by our response to disaster. Remember, I told you, Naomi has said, I quit. I give up. My life is over. I'm going home. So she turns to her daughter-in-laws and she says, you ladies, you stay here. You're young. You can find someone else to marry you. My life is over. I'm old. I have nothing to offer you. I can't have any more children. And even if I do, they'll be so long before you can marry any of them. My family line, my family name is cut off. There's nothing left for you with me. So you stay here in Moab. I'm going back to Israel. And in Ruth chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, we see Ruth's response to Naomi. She says this, but Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me. Imagine this love that this daughter-in-law has for her mother-in-law. I've known a lot of mother-in-law, daughter-in-law relationships. I don't know that I've ever seen anything like this before. I'm sure all the mother-in-laws and daughter-in-laws in here, I'm sure you all get along just like this. But I found this to be extraordinary as Ruth responds to Naomi. And as Ruth and Naomi respond to their circumstance. You see, again, resilience is demonstrated by our response to disaster. Naomi moved to Moab and she suffered tremendous loss. She lost her culture. She lost her home. She lost her husband. She lost her sons. She lost her family name. She lost her ability to own anything. Her life was utterly destroyed. The only thing she knew to do was to return home, and there she would just live as a slave, as a peasant among her own people, and then eventually die. She was facing a lifetime of being a widow, of being a beggar. She was facing a lifetime of being a woman who had no heir, who had no future. When she finally arrived back home, you can read all of this in Ruth chapter 1. When she finally arrived back home, she was greeted by the women of the community that she was from. They called out to her, Naomi, can you imagine? It's been so many years. I'm sure they were excited to see her. I'm sure they were happy to see her. They said, Naomi, Naomi, and she responds to them. And if you look in verses 20 and 21 of chapter 1, she basically said, don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara, because the Lord has dealt with me so bitterly. It's interesting, the word Naomi, or the name Naomi, means pleasant, and the word Mara means bitter. Basically, Naomi said, listen, as a result of what has happened to me in my life, I am not pleasant any longer. I am bitter. Her entire identity changed because of the disaster that she had faced in her life. And see, that's often something that many of us can understand, because disaster has a way of changing you. Hello? Disaster can have a way of breaking you. Pain can have a way of shaping you and causing you to become somebody that you were not. Are you awake this morning? Pain can have a way of causing you to morph and change into become something that is so different than who you ever thought you were going to be. And that's exactly what happened to Naomi. She went from pleasant to bitter. See, there was a difference in the way that Ruth responded and the way that Naomi responded. Naomi said, I'm finished. I'm done. I quit. I give up. I'm going back home. I have no lineage. I have no heritage. I have no life left. Ruth, on the other hand, said, mother-in-law, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to depart from you. I'm not going to turn from you. I'm not going to check out on my responsibilities. I'm not going to check out on what it is that I was created for. I'm not going to check out on the covenants and the commitments that I have made because of what has happened to me. You see, resilience. How do I know if I have it? Well, you know if you have it. You know what it looks like in your life by how you and I respond to disaster. Both women had to wrestle with their response to disaster, and their response looked very, very different. Disaster will make you bitter, or it will make you better. Let me say that again. Disaster. It's either going to make you bitter, or it's going to make you better. For Naomi, it made her bitter. For Ruth, it made her better. Ruth stepped up. And she stepped into a greater sense of responsibility than she had ever had before in her life. She stepped up and she stepped into the role of a caregiver and a nurturer and a provider. These were all responsibilities that she had never had before. And what I have noticed in my life, and I see testified to over and over and over again in scripture, is that when people face disaster, they will either shrink back or they will step up. The question for you and I today, and in the areas in our lives where we have faced disaster, has it caused our hearts to become cold and hard and bitter, or has it caused us to step up and step into more of what God has for us? Resilience is birth from a choice to remain engaged. Naomi said, I'm done. I'm finished. I quit. I give up. Ruth said, I'm in it. I won't quit. I won't give up. I won't stop. Listen, friend, if there's anyone who had a reason and had a right, if there's anyone who had a reason or had a right to go home, if there's anyone who had a right and had a reason to say, I'm done, I'm finished, it certainly was Naomi. But it was also Ruth. You see, as much as Naomi lost her husband, Ruth also lost hers. Both women had every right. From a human perspective, had every right to give up, to quit, to stop. The difference was in their response to the circumstance, in their response to the situation. Ruth clung to Naomi. She would not stop. She would not give up. And in her clinging to Naomi, it illustrates for us another truth that I want us to see about resilience. The truth that we can see about resilience, it's illustrated in chapter 2 as you move forward in this story. Ruth has followed Naomi back to her homeland. She's committed to going in to basically pick up the scraps and the leftovers, to be a beggar in the field to make sure her mother-in-law has taken care of. And as you read in chapter 2, as Ruth has gone out into the field and she's begging for the leftovers, a man, a farmer, responds to her. And we'll read that response now in verse 11 of chapter 2. Boaz replied, "I have been told," he's talking to Ruth, "I have been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland, and you came to live with a people you did not know." You see, Ruth's reputation had preceded her. Even though she had followed in sorrow, and even though she was responding to disaster, even though she was scratching and clawing and had lowered herself to the place literally of a slave and a beggar, her reputation had preceded her. And Boaz said, "I've heard all about what you have done for your mother-in-law." You see, resilience is indicated by our capacity to maintain loyalty. Ruth was committed to remaining loyal to her mother-in-law, even though it wasn't the best thing for her, even though it wasn't the most convenient thing for her, even though it was humiliating and embarrassing to become a slave in a field. She was so committed to loyalty to her mother-in-law that it provided and opened up resources to her. Ruth, along with her sister-in-law, Orpah, are faced with a choice. Remember, I talked to you about what Naomi said to them in chapter 1. Naomi said to her daughter-in-laws, "Listen, you're young. You can find another man to marry. You can go on with your life. This doesn't have to be the end." Ruth and Orpah had to decide, "Do I stay in Moab? Do I live among my own people? Do I stay in my own culture? Do I stay in my comfort zone? Do I stay where it's safe? Do I stay where I know people and people know me? Or do I leave and I go with my mother-in-law to this foreign land among people I do not know? In fact, it's highly likely that if I go to this place, it'll be hostile. It's highly likely that if I go to this place that I'm going to stick out. It's highly likely if I go to this place, people are going to know that I don't belong here." Ruth is faced with a difficult and challenging situation. The Bible says that when Naomi and Orpah and Ruth come together, you can read it in chapter 1, and Naomi says, "I'm going home, I'm quitting." The Bible says that the women, they wept bitterly together. They cried, their hearts were broken. But this idea of losing their mother-in-law was overwhelming to them. The thought of leaving her side caused them to cry, not just cry, but weep bitterly. But see, there was a difference between the way that Ruth behaved and the way that Orpah behaved. Ruth wept bitterly. Orpah wept bitterly. But there was a difference in how they responded to that moment in which their loyalty was being tested. Resilience has a way of separating those who are only willing to cry from those who are willing to commit. You see, Orpah cried, but Ruth committed. Orpah wept bitterly over the thought of losing her mother-in-law. But the Bible says that Orpah returned home. Orpah stayed in Moab. Orpah only cried, Ruth committed. You see, we live in a day and an age in which it's very easy to get very emotional and emotionally engaged in various crises that exist in the world. It's easy to become a keyboard warrior and go on Facebook and let the world know how much you hurt or how you feel about certain injustices in the world. It's really easy to go on Twitter and Instagram and let the world know your strong opinions and feelings about things. But it's something very, very different to be the kind of person that actually engages and actually gets something done. It's hot and I'm preaching a lot better than you're responding. Orpah cried, Ruth committed. How many times in my life have I cried? but been unwilling to commit, been unwilling to engage, been unwilling to do more than get emotional, get unwilling to do more than just express my feelings or concerns about something. How many times have I missed the great things that God has for me because of the challenges that I face or the challenges that I see in the world, that I was willing to move beyond an emotional response and move into an actual physical response? Ruth risked her life, her safety, her welfare to make sure that both her and Naomi had food. She risked her entire existence. She risked her dreams. She risked her ambitions. She risked her life on multiple occasions. As you read the book of Ruth, both Naomi and Boaz said to Ruth, "You're risking your life if you go to certain places. People are going to know that you're a foreigner. They're going to target you. You don't have anyone to protect you." And yet Ruth, in her stubborn dog commitment and her loyalty to her mother-in-law, said, "It does not matter. In spite of what I face, I will remain loyal." See, that's resilience, my friend. Resilience is the kind of person who does more than talk and does more than cry, but actually commits. Loyalty transcends emotional response and translates into concrete action. Loyalty transcends emotional response and translates into concrete action. How many things have I cried about but I've never done anything about? How many things have I liked on Facebook or given a thumbs up or a smiley face but I've done nothing about? How many times have I used emojis with weepy tears but I've never done anything about it? How many times have I shared my opinion and talked to Bea about the way it should be done or what should happen, but I've never fully engaged and fully committed myself? Certainly it's because of all of the troubles that I faced or all the circumstances that I faced or all the cards that are stacked against me. I mean, after all, somebody like me can't do anything about something like this. Ruth was a foreigner in a foreign land. Her life had been broken and she was humiliated. She was not just a slave. She was following behind the slaves, picking up their leftovers. Do you get that? Do you understand that? She repeatedly in the book of Ruth was called a Moabitess. In other words, she was the low of the low of the low. She was a foreigner in a foreign land and was the person following behind the slaves, picking up their leftovers. And yet, if you understand or know the book of Ruth at all, what you know and what you understand is that she became the great, 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 great grandmother of Jesus. A foreign woman in a foreign land who was following behind the slaves, picking up their leftovers, who was illegally married by a Jewish man because Jewish men weren't supposed to marry Moabitess women. She was a shamed woman in a shameful place doing shameful things, and yet she became the great, 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 great of Jesus. See, there's all kinds of reasons why we can excuse ourselves and say, "I don't belong here. Certainly God isn't asking or requiring this of me. I don't have the lineage. I don't have the pedigree. I faced this trouble. I faced this trial." And yet, can I tell you, friend, when God provokes something inside of us and calls us to a level of commitment, we must move beyond judging ourselves based on our circumstances and judging ourselves based on what we see in our own lives or we see as our own limitations. And we must remain loyal even when it requires everything of us. How often do we allow our emotions to sabotage our ability to remain loyal when things become challenging in our lives? How loyal am I to my employer? How loyal am I to my spouse? How loyal am I to the commitments that I have made in my life, especially when better opportunities come along? Hello? Naomi said to her daughter-in-laws, "Hey, you're still young and pretty. You can still find a man. Stay here in Moab among your own people and find yourself another husband. There's a life for you here." Orpah said, yes, I'm going to take the better opportunity. She wept bitterly, but she chose the better opportunity. Ruth wept bitterly, and she remained committed to her covenant. You see, when she married her husband, she took a covenant. We're so shallow, and we're so individualistic in our spirituality. We think our spirituality is an individual thing, and there could be nothing further than the truth. Naomi understood that when she made a covenant to her husband, she was making a covenant with that entire family. And so she didn't walk out on that covenant. She remained committed to Naomi, and she stepped into the place of provider that her husband was in, because to her, loyalty meant more. Loyalty meant more than the opportunity that was in front of her. How many times, because of the drumbeat of this world that tells us to live our best life and to make our best future and do what's right for you and good for you and makes you happy, all of the nonsense and garbage, how many times, because of the drumbeat of the world, do we miss out on what God is calling us to do and who God is calling us to be? The great, 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 great grand of Jesus, this foreign woman who followed slaves around to pick up their leftovers. There was no way she could possibly know or understand what God was doing and how he was orchestrating her life in this moment. All she knew was that she had made a commitment, and that in spite of what she was facing, she would remain loyal. Ruth got stronger by persevering through disaster. She remained fiercely loyal and exhibited incredible resilience through all of what was going on in her life. Faithfulness, faithfulness, faithfulness just continued to issue forth from her life as God orchestrated the steps of her life to use her in a way beyond her wildest imagination. Ruth chapter 2, verse 23. So Ruth stayed close to the women of Boaz to glean until the barley and the wheat harvest were finished. And she lived with her mother-in-law. You see, resilience is exhibited through faithfulness. Ruth daily went to the field and worked with the slave girls. She considered it her responsibility to care for her mother-in-law. And as we read earlier, her reputation was built as a faithful person, and it preceded her wherever she went. That's why Boaz responded to her the way that he did when he met her in the field. She was entrepreneurial, she was driven, and she was committed to honoring her deceased husband's responsibility to care for his mother. Many people treat the book of Ruth as if it were some sort of romance novel. I've seen it allegorized, I've seen lots of books about it. Can I burst your bubble this morning? The book of Ruth is not a romance novel. It's not a romance story. That's not an accurate biblical representation of the book of Ruth. If you didn't know that, this is why you need to go to the Bible class tonight at 5:30. We miss so much in the Bible because we've allowed it to be allegorized and we've allowed other people to interpret it for us. But the reality is people have fought and bled and died to put the word of God in our hands so that we could read it and understand it for ourselves. But we've abdicated that responsibility, and so we are so encouraging you. And I say that tongue in cheek, but I mean it with all of my heart. Please go to that class tonight. If you really want to understand scripture, if I'm sharing things with you that maybe you've been in church all of your life and you've heard of the book of Ruth all of your life, but you never understood it, I am not joking at all. This is why this class is so important. The material that we're going to teach you in this class absolutely changed my life. It unlocks scripture for me in ways that I could never explain to you. The book of Ruth isn't a romance novel at all. It really is the story of how we get to the lineage of Jesus. If you read the book of Ruth, the book of Ruth ends with the lineage of Jesus. How Ruth and Boaz have a baby named Obed, who has a baby named Jesse, who has a baby named David. And we all understand that Jesus is from the line of David. The book of Ruth really is to establish for us the birth line of Jesus and to help us understand that the God that we serve is the kind of God who takes foreign women, who becomes the slave of slaves, and uses their lives for incredible ways. That's the kind of God that we serve. He takes broken people from broken places, and he uses and orchestrates their lives to reveal his glory on the earth. Many people read this book of Ruth and they don't understand. They treat the relationship between Ruth and Boaz as if it were some sort of, they were some sort of star-crossed lovers who magically met in the night and fell in love with one another. And oh, it's this beautiful, wonderful thing. The truth is that is not the book of Ruth at all. In fact, the Bible says that when Boaz comes to the field, he comes to the field and he notices this woman among the slave girls who are out there. And he says, whoa, wait a minute. Who is that? We think, oh, there was, you know, romance in the air. It has nothing to do with there was romance in the air. She was a foreign woman. She didn't look like the other women in the field. So, of course, he noticed her. And so he asked about her and they said, oh, she's Naomi's daughter-in-law. Oh, yes, I know that story. Why did he take an interest? He took an interest because he had a responsibility. He had a family responsibility as the guardian redeemer in that family. And so out of his generosity and out of his kindness, he wanted to make sure that his sister-in-law by marriage didn't die. And he wanted to make sure that this poor young woman didn't die. And so he took notice of her. He saw that she was a good person. And so he left some food for her. That's the story of Naomi. I mean, excuse me, that's the story of Ruth and Boaz. It wasn't that they were star-crossed lovers in the night. In fact, if you read on, what you understand is later on, as Boaz and Ruth and their relationship begins to change, you can see how Boaz is surprised. In Ruth chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, you see Ruth has came and she has presented herself to Boaz. She's presented herself to him and said, hey, I want you to marry me. I want you to take me on as your wife. Because you are the guardian redeemer. We read the response in verse 10 and 11. He says this, the Lord bless you, my daughter. He replied, this kindness is greater than what you showed earlier. Okay, get this. This kindness is what you showed earlier. In other words, what he's saying to her is the fact that you're interested in me, you're doing me a favor. This is great kindness. He's comparing it to the kindness that she had showed to Naomi by serving in the field. Listen, this idea that Boaz is this tall, dark, and handsome knight in shining armor, and that Ruth just saw him and he was glowing and glistening, and you know, he was like Fabio, and she just like ran to him. The dude was old. Read your Bible for what it actually says, not the garbage that we're fed. The guy was old, and probably, at least, he didn't think he was very good looking. He may have been, I don't really know. But, you know, he wasn't this bodybuilder on the front of a romance novel. He was surprised that Ruth was willing to present herself to him. He said, you're being really generous and you're being really kind that you're taking interest in me. Do you get that? Do you understand that? You have not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all that you ask. All the people of my town know that you are a woman of noble character. Faithfulness is having the character to do the right thing regardless of the cost. Let me say it again. Faithfulness is having the character to do the right thing regardless of the cost. Ruth married Boaz not because he was a knight in shining armor. She married Boaz because it preserved the family name. Understand this. I'm sorry we take the Bible and we twist it and we make it romantic and we make it all these things that it's not. That's not what it was. The reason she pursued Boaz, and she did pursue him, she pursued Boaz was to preserve the family name. You see, if there was not another heir born from within the same family, then her father-in-law Elimelech and the name of her husband and that family name would be lost. The property that was owned, all of those things would be lost. She pursued Boaz to carry on the family name. She had a child with him, and his name became Obed. And as I said before, Obed was the father of Jesse, who was the father of David. The lineage of Jesus was preserved and released through this family because of Ruth's faithfulness. Think about that for a moment. Because Ruth did not allow the disaster that happened in her life to cause her to become bitter, to cause her to separate herself, to quit, to give up, to isolate herself, because she chose to remain loyal and faithful, she became a part of the lineage of the Savior of the world. Because she chose to marry a man that even the man himself was surprised that she chose him, she became a part of the lineage of the Savior of the world. How many times do we miss out on God's grand design for our lives because we lack the resilience to remain faithful? We lack the resilience to remain loyal and faithful with what we are being asked to do. When what we are being asked to do is outside of our expectations or our desires for our own lives, and so we disqualify ourselves, how many times do we miss out on this grand plan that God has for our lives? Faithfulness, my friend, will cause us to go further and to risk more than we could ever imagine. It will call us to not play it safe, but to go all in for the purposes of God for our lives. Are you hearing me today? Loyalty and faithfulness, true resilience, pushes you beyond anything that you could ever imagine for your life. How many times have I disqualified myself? How many times have I made excuses? How many times have I missed the opportunity? Poor Orpah. Orpah had the same opportunity that Ruth had, and yet Orpah missed it. Orpah just as easily could have been the one who redeemed the family name of Elimelech and ultimately became a part of the lineage of Jesus, but instead she cried and went home. Orpah could have just as easily been the great, great, great of Jesus, but instead, what did she do? She took the road that was convenient, the road that was easy, the road that looked best for her. It wasn't just Orpah. There was another man who actually had the opportunity to redeem Ruth and Naomi. When you read in Ruth chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, the Bible says this, "Then Boaz said on the day," he's talking to another man. There was another man who could have been, he could have been the guardian redeemer. He actually stood in line before Boaz. He actually had the chance before Boaz to redeem Ruth. Boaz went to him and said, "Hey, here's your opportunity." And the guy was like, "Yeah, I want the land. Definitely give me the land. I'll take it." Boaz said, "Let me explain this to you. You don't just get the land, but you get the women also. Naomi and Ruth are going to become your wives. They're going to become your property. And you're going to have to provide a child because this family name is going to have to carry on." Bible can be complicated, can't it? Not as all flowery as we think it can be. Sometimes this twists our mind a little bit. Hello? It can be complicated. And this man had the opportunity culturally and legally. He had the opportunity. But he said, nope. Verses 5 and 6 of chapter 4. "Then Boaz said, on the day you buy the land from Naomi, you also acquire Ruth the Moabite, the dead man's widow, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property." At this, the guardian redeemer, talking about the other man who was in line before Boaz, said, "Then I cannot redeem it because I might endanger my own estate. You redeem it for yourself. I cannot do it." This guy said, "I want the land," but when the women came along with it, he's, "I don't want that. I don't want that responsibility because if I do that, it might endanger my own estate." Think about it. Not only could Orpah have been the great, 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 great of Jesus, this other man could have been the great, 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 great grandfather of Jesus as well. But he chose the safe route. He chose to not endanger his estate. How many times have I missed God because I'm protecting my estate? Resilience calls us to a place where we faithfully give up everything for the cause of God in our life. There is no playing it safe in the kingdom of God. Let me say that again. There is no playing it safe in the kingdom of God. Naomi was bitter. Orpah cried. Boaz started out as a kind farmer who would allow this poor foreign girl to get the crumbs or the leftovers in his field. Then he noticed and he said, oh, wait a minute. She's got good character. She's taking care of my sister-in-law. Let me give her more. And ultimately, not even recognizing the opportunity that he was in front of him, Ruth comes along and she pushes, she nudges, she helps him to understand. Hey, this is what you get. Go read chapter 3. She made herself pretty. She went to the party. Go read chapter 3. She said, you can have all this and a bag of chips. She had to push Boaz to see where God was calling him. Boaz stepped up and as a result became the great, 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 great of Jesus. And yet there was this other kinsman redeemer, this other guardian redeemer who missed it. He missed the opportunity. Resilience positions us in our lives to where we don't miss the opportunities that God has put in front of us. Let me say it again. Resilience positions us in our lives so that we do not miss the opportunities that God is presenting to us. Every person in this room, I don't care where you're from. I don't care what your family tree is. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what your nationality is. I don't care what people have said about you. I don't care what has happened in your life. It cannot stop what God has designed for you. I love you with all of my heart. I genuinely mean that. I love you with all of my heart. But I'm telling you this with all of that love. I don't care what you have to lose. It's worth it. It's worth it for what God is calling you to. It's worth it for who God is calling you to be. It's worth it for the purposes and plans of God for your life. The question is not, will there be opportunity? The question is not, will there be risk? The question is not, will there be reward? The question is, will you and I be resilient enough to step into God's best for our lives?
Thanks for listening to this message from North Place Church, Durban. Feel free to duplicate or share this message. If you live in the Durban area, we would love to connect with you. We meet every Sunday at 9:30 a.m.